Joining us now, the radio voice of the Utah Jazz, the one and only David Locke. What's going on, David?
Not much, Jake and Ben. How are you guys?
We're doing terrific. What are you doing to prepare for the Jazz offseason? Where are you in your offseason prep work, whether it's draft, free agents, trades, whatever?
So I ran the numbers that I have for 5 years, now six. I have a number system that's, you know, pretty amateur, nothing too complicated, in which I look at the draft prospects by numbers. I break it up into numbers I think characterize athleticism, shooting, shot creation, and one other. So just offensive numbers. And I've done the top 35 players on that.
Is the draft as bad as everybody says?
No. But that's my theory, my feeling is no, but. And what I mean by that is that every single player I run on something, then there's like a but statement. So Reed Sheppard has the best numbers shooting and best numbers of probably any player I've ever run. He's in the 90th percentile. He's a decent athletically. He's in the 90th percentile for pick and roll. 100th percentile of all shooters. Like, the amount of players that have been 90% in off the bounce and 90% on catch and, I think it was off the bounce and catch and shoot is like Desmond Bane and nobody else. But he's 6'2", right? Like, are you really using the number one pick of an NBA draft on a guy who's 6'2"? Rob Dillingham comes out, another Kentucky kid, comes out great. But his athletic numbers are enough that I could actually make a really strong claim. He might not make it, and he's 6'1". So that's kind of my feeling, like, you know, and let me be perfectly clear. I haven't seen one of these guys play 1 minute of basketball all year. Like, I know nothing. I haven't watched the film yet. If you look at Cody Williams, Colorado, I've never watched him. I'm sure you have, Ben. So I will not change what I'm about to say, but why don't you tell me what you think of him, and then I'll tell you what the numbers say.
He's big. He's athletic. He disappears sometimes. But when he's doing things, they all look right. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So the numbers said he's athletic. He came out as the most athletic of any player. The numbers say that he's a really, really high-level shooter. And they say he can't play off the bounce a lick. Accurate?
Yeah, he didn't show that a lot at Colorado, yeah.
Two other guys that were really looked good. Oh, crap. Now, I know so little about these. McLean out of Duke.
Had a good tournament.
What do you know about McLean out of Duke?
He had a really good tournament.
I never watched him.
Yeah, he had one really big game in the tournament and put himself back into that borderline lottery spot.
So he came out, he and the kid out of, you're going to have to help me out. Is it Culver? It's not Culver. Virginia Tech or someone like that, a little older, 21, 22 years old.
Not totally sure. Perfect.
I did my podcast on this today, but now I can't remember it. It's only been like an hour since I did it.
Javon Porter?
No.
Pepperdine?
Another little guard.
I think that might... no, Porter's bigger.
Around 15, 16 projected. Anyway, my point on this is both those guys look great. Both are 6'3".
Yeah.
Right? So, like, the five guys that came out of my draft that I looked at, the numbers said are really, really good. And that's not any... And frankly, Sheppard looks better than anyone I've ever seen in a lot of ways. On numbers, you know, Victor's numbers weren't great. So, I mean, like, you can miss on numbers pretty easily. But
Devin Carter at Providence, by the way, is who you're talking about.
You're really, really good. Thank you. Have you seen him play?
I haven't.
Okay. So anyway, my point on all these guys is the draft bad? Well, honestly, like from a number standpoint, like just looking for players, just as many players turned out that they look good on this draft as have in years past. But there's a but statement on every single one of them, right? Like Cody Williams looks really good, but clearly doesn't seem to have an off the bounce game. Shepard looks amazing, but are you really using the number one pick on the draft on a 6'2" and a half guard in a league where it seems like if you're not 6'4", you can't play? Dillingham looks really, really good, but his athleticism numbers are actually so bad that I can't actually find players with numbers that bad athleticism to survive. You know, and the two kids we just talked about, they look good, but they're both 6'3". So to me, like, I just think there's a but statement, which means there's probably not a star, but there's definitely going to be some players. There were three guys I looked at whose shooting numbers are those three of the worst shooting numbers that I've done in 5 years. Castle out of Connecticut, who a scout called me afterwards and said to me, a guy, a player personnel guy, say, well, he might be Marcus Smart. I went and looked at Marcus Smart's shooting numbers. They were bad, but I don't think they were that bad. And then the two G League Ignite guys, and you've had a really good point on G League Ignite, that maybe it takes longer for those guys, but the Matthias, if that's his name, and Ron Holland, like I can't find, and I only have 5 years of data, but in 5 years of data, I don't have players that have made that survive with those shooting numbers. And Castle might be the second pick of the draft. So yeah, it's probably not great. I don't know that I think it's as bad as everyone says. I don't know. I've done a bunch of analysis also on what is a good draft and what is a bad draft. And so, you know, I think the real question is, like, where does it just fall off the table? On the bad drafts, what happens is you fall off the table and there's just not any other play. There's no players left, and you go, you know, in retrospect, you go 9, 10, 11, 12 picks where nobody actually made the league.
David, we just played some comments from Matt Ishbia in his press conference yesterday, which I think he might be a tad delusional. But I want to ask you this question. Whose future would you rather have, given their current circumstances, the Lakers or the Suns?
So I'm not sure I do think Matt Ishbia is as delusional as you guys were saying, just a thought. Like, I mean, I think his point is that, like, most teams would like to have Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. I think that's probably true. Like, you know, like, I don't think that's that crazy a comment.
Well, maybe not Bradley Beal.
Well, yeah, I mean, no, I mean, hey, I thought Bradley Beal's last minute and a half was really disturbing.
Oh, 90 seconds?
No, it was awful. Yeah, it was as bad a stretch as I've seen.
No, I mean, he, like, commits two fouls and turns it over and just gets himself out of the game. And it's like, it was seriously, like, every, you know, question on him of whether he's just a losing player, just, like, saw it right there. Like, oh, that's why there's questions. Like, you can decide that's unfair for a guy who averaged 30 at one point in the league, but that stretch right there is why you're saying that. So I understand what he's – I don't think it's as delusional in the sense of, like, his point is I got three of the best players in the league. Now, hey, he has no draft picks and he has no flexibility. He's over the second apron, and there's all sorts of problems in that nature. But we'll see. The Lakers or the Suns was the question. I think I'd rather be the Suns. They have Devin Booker, who's 28 years old. I mean, for saying future, like next.
Yeah.
I'd probably rather be the Suns next year, and I'd probably rather be the Suns in 5 years. Because if I hold on to Devin Booker, I have one of the top 10 players in the NBA still.
But the Lakers will likely have Bronny James, so does that.
Well, the Lakers do have 3 first-round draft picks and a lot more roster flexibility in the next few years than the Suns do. And that is the
They
difference.
Do, but, and I know we have our draft picks and we love our draft picks, but like how far, like I thought this was interesting. I was doing a study recently on where I was giving grades to every pick that's been made and then being able to figure out the expected value of draft position. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So like I graded every position on, like, so if you got an MVP candidate, you got a 10. And if you got an all-NBA top 20 player, you got a 7 for that pick and a 5 for a top 50 player and a 3 for a starter and a 2 for a rotation player, 1 for borderline and 0. And I did it for every draft back to 2003, I think, and looked at expected pick value. We can talk about that if you want to. What I thought was interesting is the 2020, the Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Josh Giddey draft. So that's the 2020 draft or 2021?
2021.
Like, I couldn't grade it. Like, I have no idea. Like, I have no idea what Cade Cunningham is. I have no idea what Jalen Green is. I have no idea what Josh Giddey is. Like, I mean, I see him now. I mean, I know where they are today, but, like, I still don't know. So, like, I love first-round draft picks, and I'm glad we have them, and it's valuable to us, and they're wonderful assets. But in regards to, like, those guys are 3 years in the league. I have no idea. I'm not even sure any of them help you win a game yet. So, like, I kind of wonder if, like, you know, what do we – yeah, they got draft picks, but, like, how far in the future are we talking? Because if you draft those draft picks, I think you're 4 and 5 years out on any draft pick before they really help you win a game still.
That does
unless they're Victor, right? Like, I mean, okay, but like,
well, but even Anthony Edwards, who is great and is a superstar, he started this year really making a difference. I mean,
and he's year five, right?
Yeah, this is his fourth year in the league, I think, right?
Yeah.
He was drafted in 2020, okay. So right, he was that good. There was some real belief that he was going to be that good. He was a one and done kid, but it took 4 years before he turned into a guy. You're right,
and he's the number one pick of the draft, right? Like, yep. He's the number one pick. So, yeah, I get it that, like, the Lakers have future draft picks and the Suns don't. But, like, then, you know, some of those picks are 5 years from the day they're drafted before I think they help you win a game. Unless the Lakers are so – in which case, if they're not – okay, to the question, if they're not that, then that means you were drafting 1, 2, or 3 in your draft, and then the Suns definitely have a better future because the Lakers are drafting 1, 2, and 3.
Of David,
here's a note for you on this. The average pick value that I came up with after the 11th pick of the draft, okay? So again, 3 was a starter, 2 was a rotation player, 1 was a borderline player, 0 was they never contribute or they're non-contributor, and 5 was top 50, okay? From the 11th pick on, the average pick value. Do you have any guess if I gave you those numbers?
Oh, 1.5?
1.1.
Yeah.
You're getting a rotation player every other pick after 11. Good drafts are like 14. Bad drafts are like 9.
David, looking at some of the teams that have been eliminated or are going to be eliminated, are there cast-off pieces or players you think have value in poaching?
Well, I know Phoenix has one of the greatest situations in the world, but with Devin Booker having 4 years on his deal, and I know he didn't want to come here out of the draft, how much would you give Phoenix?
You'd give him I don't want to say untold number of draft picks, but more than 3 firsts in salary matching to get there.
Yeah. I mean, so I make that phone call, certainly.
Yeah.
It's top 10 play. You know, that's the best. I don't think he's available, but they can't really. Durant doesn't have any value, I don't think, at this point. And they can't trade Beal. He's got no trade clause. So can you, you know, it's an interesting question. If you sent them 2 good players for salary matching and a cadre of picks, how much worse are they? Like, Beal gets to be Beal, and Durant is your man, and you actually have depth and support players. If you gave them 2 or 3 players that could actually play, I might argue they're better. I'm a big believer in, and I thought it wasn't going to, I think this is interesting because I thought it wasn't going to matter in the playoffs, but I'm a big believer that you got to have 240 minutes of basketball on your roster. And when you don't have, that's 5 times 48. If you don't have a full roster of NBA players, it's just too hard to get through games and get through the season when guys have injuries. And that's what happened to Phoenix this year. But what also happened is, like, they didn't have 240 minutes. When Grayson Allen went out, they suddenly just didn't have they were nowhere close to 240 minutes. And then they looked terrible in the playoffs, too, which was really interesting to me. Because the whole theory this whole time is, well, yeah, you need 240 in the regular season, but you can reduce your rotation down. You know, well, maybe not. You know, Milwaukee doesn't have 240 minutes of NBA players. They got better as the year got on. They added some players, and they're a little closer. But I think that's why they're struggling. New York has 240 minutes of players, man. They've had it all year. Like, there's not a weak spot. When they bring somebody in, and then they had enough depth that Miles McBride stepped in for Emmanuel Quickley, is pretty good. So I do kind of wonder, and I don't want to say names, but you could go piece together three Jazz players and send them to Phoenix. I'm not sure they're not better just because they're getting 80 minutes worth of basketball for a guy who was playing 34. Maybe they're even getting 90.
David, we thank you as always. Appreciate you dropping by, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure. And look forward to reading Ben. When are you starting to publish all your draft stuff so I can get smart?
I think I'm going to start today, actually. So I'm going to turn on some games. In fact, I'm going to watch Kentucky. So I'll watch Rob and read a little more.
All right. I'm telling you, there's not – I do it on my podcast today if you're having a hard time sleeping tonight and you need to listen to something. But, like, in 6 years, I've never had the numbers that Reed Sheppard has.
Next to Zach Edey, because Zach Edey was a freak, Reed Sheppard was the best college basketball player this year.
And the one thing I think's relevant of how good Reed Sheppard's numbers are is that you have all the COVID guys. So he had the best numbers I've seen in 6 years against the oldest players anyone's ever played against.
Yeah, he's a little old, but still. 20.
Well, he's interesting because he's old. Like, it seems like his dad, who, you know, is, you can go read the papers. His dad must have held him back for athletic purposes.
Yeah.
Early in his, and so he's always been a year, you know, he's not Shabazz Muhammad, who was 3 years ahead, but, and turned out to falsify his birth certificate. But it does seem like they held him for athletic purposes, which then makes you wonder, like, is he as good as his numbers are?
Sure.
Like, Dillingham's almost a year younger, I think.
David, thanks.
We
appreciate
David.
It.
See you guys.
The one and only David Locke.